stands out above all the others because somehow, some way, his parents, and again, I do think it was his grandmother for the longest time, every year for Christmas would renew his subscription to the magazine, Sports Illustrated. And what seems like something comical to us today was the weekly guide to watch what and watch that. Better than ESPN, who's just starting to come and be more because many people didn't have cable. But if you had that, you had the pictures, you had the Olympic insight, you had everything you needed to be ready for March Madness and for me, the ACC tournament. And you were always more well-informed than your friends who only had what was on the local news on television. And somewhere through there, something tremendous and terrible happened. Somehow his mother figured out that every February, the swimsuit issue came out. And he'd gotten by her a time or two. Truth of the matter is, I think she found out after the fact. And he not only had the subscription to the leading information source of all things sport-related, but he had something that many of us at that young age thought was absolutely positively taboo. And his mom would get it and would throw it away. And this became a tug of war with him. We'd ask that Sunday at church, did you? Nah, she threw it away. Did you get it out of the trash can? No, she threw it in the neighbor's trash can. I looked through ours. He got a little older and began to plead with his mother. Mom, listen, I'll be good. Just let me have it, because March Madness is coming. It comes out in February. I gotta have it. Can't we come to some kind of an arrangement? And it was the week it was supposed to come, and he took off home. And as he got home, we came back to school the next day. Well, how'd you do? How'd you fare with the swimsuit issue? He said, I got it. We were stunned. And we weren't stunned as much as we called him a liar. We really got it? Yeah. Your mom let you have it? Oh, she let me have it. And I said, how'd she let you have it? Said she took scissors to it. She cut out anything she didn't think I needed to see. I said, what was left? What was left? He said an advertisement for Carnival Cruise Lines and something about Skoal tobacco. So if I want to chew or if I want to sail, other than that, that was it. I said, well, about the front and the back cover. Nada. She left me six staples, two advertisements, and a blacked out table of contents. I said, what are you going to do next year? I'm just going to ask her to throw it away. And he said, I didn't get any more things there. Hysterically, I say that story now. Because the thought of once a year having some temptation to watch what is not wholesome, to put in our minds what might be troublesome, is hysterical, comical in 2021. We swim in absolute, all the time on profanity, vulgarity, sensuality, idolatry, you name it. It is everywhere present. There's no need to wait. It's available with a click of our tablets, of our phones, of our televisions. He's speaking here, and he's going to help us with something. Use that word, that connector word. Okay, in light of all this, think this way. He gives a command. Verse 9, because of all this, you've seen my example, do this. Both of them are commands here, and so he's really trying to help us here. He makes a difference between, again, I want to remind you, we're not talking medically. He's not talking about things that are out of your control. He's simply talking about what's in your control. Again, I'm not giving medical advice. I'm not saying if you struggle, as we've talked about earlier on, with some anxiety and things like that. I'm not addressing those. I'm not giving any medical advice. He's talking about what you can control here, what you should control here. When you are anxious, man, pray. When things are out of control, pray. When you've got a problem with someone, go to them. Get it fixed. Get it finished. And so he's walking us through all these kind of things. Richard Mellick wrote something I thought was great. When anxiety appears, the cure is prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, 5, and 6. When life is disorderly, the cure is mental and practical discipline. Think on these things. Dwell on these things. He says, evaluate, consider, calculate. God's peace resides in those who have ordered their lives in accordance with God's will. One of the most foolish things I've observed, almost 30 years of ministry full-time, is people who, man, I don't read God's word, I don't listen to God, I'm not trying to do what he tells me to do, but when life doesn't work out, it's God's fault. Anybody met those people? I just, you know, God didn't fix it in 30 seconds. How many counseling sessions have I been to with someone, and they're like, well, we tried everything else, what do you got? I got a pizza somewhere. I got a pizza coming in a half hour. Can you fix all the mistakes in my life in 30 minutes? Now, let me help you. I can get you started. His name is Jesus, and he died for your sins, and he wants to change your life. That'll change so much of what's going on, and it'll give you the ability to face whatever's ahead. Somebody help me here. Amen. So when we're looking at this, he's walking us through those kind of things. So what is he saying? You want peace? Anybody here besides me want peace? A little bit of peace, the peace of God, peace with God. When he says you want peace, feed your mind differently so you can think differently. You want peace and joy? Remember, you're called to a holy lifestyle. Follow Jesus and then learn from others who are following Christ. He says what you choose to feed your mind or think about affects so many things about you, including the peace that he offers and he promises. You say, okay, preacher, you got me. That's what I want. It's what I need. It's what I'd really like. What stands in between me and that? What stands in between me and what's ahead? We're going everything from a load of dishes to problems at work to family struggles to marriage. What's going on here? If you'll allow me, I think there's three areas, just a few. Maybe we'll only do two. But there's some battles here. I think the first one is the battle for the mind. Let me just take a little bit of survey. Anybody here struggle with what goes on in your mind and what goes into your mind? Anybody besides the preacher? All right, the rest of you need to. You can be dismissed. Man, I struggle whether I am seeking it out or somebody's just planting it there. Anybody been having a pretty good day and somebody decide to come over and ruin it? Anybody know people? You're like, how you doing? They went, oh, no. I asked them. They may tell me. And you have those kind of things. I always wonder. I was about the quarantine and everything got locked down last year. Fairly large church, fairly well known. A TV preacher was doing something kind of internet live. He got rolling. He dropped an F-bomb from the pulpit. And instead of backing up and covering up, they put out, a politician-worthy tweet of obfuscation. Then they took the stuff down, tried to sue anybody that was republishing it. Instead of just going, would you just pray for our pastor? Because the truth of the matter is, he's been taking in some stuff he didn't need to, and his tongue tattled on his heart. Because the tongue is always the tattletale of the heart. They'd have been so much better off if they'd just come clean with it. Somebody says, I don't know where my kid heard that. They said some ugly word. Well, they heard it from the TV, they heard it from you. And if they heard it from the neighbor kids, it's time to move. Right? Man, what we put in comes out. What we put in comes out. Andre and I were riding back from a nice meal with folks we were trying to win to Christ some years back. And they were talking, and they started laughing hysterically. And they said, our little 2-year-old girl said this and this and this. And we knew we shouldn't, but we just laughed at her. And they said some of the ugliest words I have ever heard in my life. And they were laughing at their little 2-year-old who was repeating the vulgarity. And I said, man, where do you think she heard that from? I said, oh, no way around it. You heard it from me. And they were feeding that to their child. And then they laughed at it. And I'm telling you, that's not what you want. There is a battle there. There's a battle. Richard Ellsworth says, what we think matters, and it matters more than we think. What we think matters, and it matters more than we think. And what we think about, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You are who you think you are. You are what you think about. The Bible leaves no doubt that people's lives are the product of their thoughts. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. If you got your Bible, look along with me and you look on the screen. Jesus speaking said, that which comes out of the man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, we would say sensuality now. An evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, we would say again, hatred there. All these evil things come from within and defile the man, defile the person. He says, trust my heart, baloney. Your heart's evil and wicked. Say, I can't. You don't need much help, but then you've been inviting all this other. I'm telling you, there's a battle for your mind. It's an absolutely positive battle for your mind. If you don't control your thought life, you won't control your life. Feed material in your mind that produces evil thoughts, and you'll soon lose control of your life. James Dobson was interviewing one of the famed serial killers of the last generation, Ted Bundy. A series of 4 to 6 taped hours that were edited and played on the Focus on the Family program. As he was asking him, and Bundy, out of sick narcissism in some point and just wanting to see how much he could shake Dobson, as he is being interviewed there, he said, it all started as a teenager with what I was putting in my mind. Say, that won't happen to me. I used to teach my students, the only difference between you now and any sin is time and opportunity, wait for it, and the restraining of the Holy Spirit. You and I are capable of anything. We're capable of anything without the restraining, sanctifying influence of the Word of God and the Spirit of God in our lives. Only difference between you and Hitler. Someone has said, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a destiny. Say, it won't matter to me. It doesn't affect me. I suggest to you, it absolutely always does. I tried an experiment. I had Andrea present because I wasn't exactly sure what I'd find. Anybody, if you're going to do something risky, you want somebody with you? You want somebody with you so you can blame? Now there's some hands up. And I popped online Thursday, Friday, whenever it was, Andrea. Popped online. I said, I want to see what this is. Everybody look right here for a second. Popped online and I said, man, what's everybody watching? We found the top 10 things that were going out streaming services. And 7 of them were rated TVMA. One was R, one was TVY, which is real small kids, and one was TVPG. So I wouldn't overspeak. I looked it up. I looked it up on the it's not the MPAA because it's actually considered television, but TVMA is more severe than a rating than an R. TVMA is the equivalent of the NC-17. MPAA, or the motion picture, says something's NC-17 if it's in a theater. TVMA, if it's, again, you're streaming or something like that. It can contain brutal acts of violence. It can contain any and all types of sexuality, full frontal nudity, etc. Many animated shows are labeled with a TVMA. Shows like Rick and Morty, South Park, occasionally Family Guy. What's not rated are things like other streaming services, Discord, Twitch, YouTube. And if they're live, there's almost no censoring at all. During the pandemic, when people were locked in, The OnlyFans site saw an explosion. People were getting fired from their jobs because they were figuring out that they were on there instead of the hypocrisy of somebody watching them and turning them in. They instead turned to them. Again, that's a whole different ball of wax. But the folks said, it doesn't really matter. I sit in my house and I talk to strangers in my underwear, and I'm making $17,000 a month on a bad month. Patreon has bypassed any type of censorship, and for $3 and above, you can find any and all types of deviancy. And I stopped going down the rabbit hole because the more I went, the more I shook my head. Can you say amen to me that we're in a battle for our mind? I don't have to go to 7-Eleven to have any trouble. I got at the other end of my phone. Dear friend of ours, he said, when my kids turn a certain age, maybe they'll get a smartphone. Until then, they got a flip phone. And they can get real good with their thumbs like I did. I didn't have a flip phone, smartphone. I was real happy to finally get a phone with numbers instead of a rotary. I lost a lot of anger and frustration by getting to number 8 and then the dial went wrong. If you don't know what that is, you can Google that if you get real bored during my sermon, what a rotary phone is. Anybody remember a rotary phone? That's the most hands you've ever had raised in here. He says there's a battle for our mind. There's a battle in our minds. People no longer ask, is it true? But they ask, does it work? Pragmatically, or they ask, how will it make me feel? I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like reading my mind. I don't feel. Will they make me happy? How many times have the last silliest thing somebody said in a relationship, well, the heart wants what the heart wants. I got news for you. The heart's desperately wicked, and your mind is corrupt, and you need to be real careful. Because there's a battle that is here. There's a battle. It's going on. There's a battle for the mind. There's a battle in the mind. You still with me? Say amen. The battle in the mind. Go back to your verse if you would. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. He's not giving us anything new. Romans 12:12. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your, what's the word on the screen there? The renewing of your what? Mind. When you are saved, God begins to change your mind, change your thinking. Man, it's important. It's imperative. I suggest to you that spirit fullness is taking in the Word of God so that the Spirit of God can help you to act like the Son of God. I'm struggling. Let me help you. You may have a word deficiency. God, is this something I need to be watching? Is this something I need to be thinking about? Is this something I need to be listening to? Is this something I need to be doing? I called out the song WAP, said I couldn't start to give you the lyrics. It sat on the number one chart in the world for four weeks. I quit checking it. I actually forgot about it, hoped it was just a fad. Again, completely pornographic lyrics. Again, preteen girls, main audience that were listening to it. And then I found out that it was on the Grammys. And they brought her in, and they put it out there. And again, what should have, but because it was live, it wasn't. What should have been relegated and censured and no sponsors and no commercials, they performed live with an inordinate amount of bleeping and offer changes because there wasn't hardly anything other than A-N and thee in most of the song that wasn't absolutely, positively vulgar. I got news for you. You can't think like you're supposed to if you're marinating in filth and sewer. The preacher, you mighty heart. I'm telling you, it's a battle. It's an absolute battle. You want the peace of God, you're going to have to make some decisions about what you put in your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He gives another one. Be ye renewed in the mind, in the spirit of your mind. God is wanting to change this. Change your mind. Philippians 4:8 is called the Philippians 4:8 sieve or sift. You might hear of a grandmother, great-grandmother, someone, and they would put flour or maybe powdered sugar in a little fine mesh sieve, and then they'd sit there and shake it. They'd tap it. Anybody remember? Is that a good memory to anybody? But the only time I really saw that is if powdered sugar was going on a hot cake. Man, a hot cake, and that stuff just starts to melt on there. And I'm getting all excited just thinking about it right now. And man, it can kind of make, I don't know what that would be, a meringue or a dripping. I don't know. I got donuts in there, so while you're being hungry, I'm going to eat. And do that. Or if it was pastry time. My grandmother Holloman would either make them fresh, or she'd already made them fresh, put them on wax paper, stuck them in the freezer, and she'd pull them out, and she'd sprinkle some flour down and get to working on them, and she'd have the hen at a low boil, and she'd throw those things in there, and it was about to be chicken pastry time. So I grew up with dumplings. And I'll eat anything. I'm an equal opportunity chicken, dumpling, pastry. I don't care if it's cornmeal. I don't care if it's a dumpling. I don't care if it's biscuits. I don't care if it was frozen. I just want it on my plate. And when you do that and you make sure, some of it was to give the finest, but occasionally, again, particularly pre-70s, it was if some vermin had gotten in the flour, you wanted to make sure you didn't cook up a beetle or a cricket or a cockroach. And they would strain it out. They make sure there wasn't a rock or something that had gotten in, or a pebble, something that had calcified. Say, so what should I put in my mind? Let me help you what you ought to put in your mind. John Butler conveniently made six categories here. He said you ought to be thinking about honest things, holy things, harmonious things. You ought to be thinking healthy things, happy things, healthy things, and heavenly things. Look in the text just for a moment. He talks about whatsoever things are true. You want to understand the peace of God and the joy of God, you better get in the Word of God. You can't just pick it up and out on Sunday morning. If you are not in the Word, some of you, the best days of your life were the days when you opened God's Word and God talked to you through His Word and you said, I will obey what I read. And we have a dearth of that. Man. We got all kind of people who are experts about the Bible who spent no time in it. The Word of God will change you. The Word of God is the only source of truth. I can always tell I'm in trouble. I say something, somebody says, well, I think. I'm glad for what you think. But what you think has absolutely no bearing on the truth of the Scripture. It's just what the Bible says. Amen. And somebody else will say, well, I feel. Man, I'm glad for what you feel. But if what you feel contradicts with the Scripture, so you go out of your way looking for a fight. I don't go out of my way looking for anything except probably now some pastry. I've talked about a little bit. But if I see a snake that I know is poisonous headed toward you or your family, and I don't say anything to you, I don't care much for you. And Paul here says to the church, here's some things that will help you experience the peace of God and have a holy mind. He says, these are the things you think about. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable. Whatsoever things are honorable. Proper motives and manners and morals are very important. We live in a world that's consumed and characterized by frivolity. And those who would just simply do what is expected in a way that is honorable are almost lampooned. We have called evil good and good evil, and we are paying the price for it. Whatsoever things are true. Again, I think specifically he's talking about the Scripture. By the way, and you got to know the Word in order to figure out what's not from the Word. It says, whatsoever things are true and honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are just. What about God's righteous acts? What about the way that God deals with us? Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are pure. If you'd have told me as a young man that the scourge of the 21st century would be pornography, if you'd have told me that Pornhub had to build extra servers by extra space because when the 3D and the visual, when the surround glasses came out and the altered reality on Christmas Day all but melted their servers, accounting for about an eighth of all internet traffic as people celebrated the birth of Christ by living in a 3D extra spatial world of sensuality and pornography. I'd have laughed at you. There's no way our culture will stand for that. Man go down to his basement and lock the door with wife and children crying outside. marriage is ruined. 60 to 70% of men who are honest admit they deal with an addiction. It's almost 40%, depending on what age slice you grab from ladies. I'm telling you. By the way, it doesn't all have to be visual. It can be verbal. 50 Shades of Grey made verbal pornography and emotional pornography. Bachelor and Bachelorette have got us to buy in and root for people to do what is wicked. I told you we're in a battle. We're in a battle. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are lovely. That which is amiable, pleasing, which promotes and breathes and evokes love. By the way, we have to be careful. We can only take in so much bitterness and anger and malice, and it doesn't affect us. Whatsoever things are of good report, well-sounding, appealing, whatsoever things make a good impression, again, goes back to honorable. He says if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, anything that brings glory to God, glory to God. Walter Hansen says, Paul is calling for us to be attentive, reflective, meditative thinkers. It's a lifetime of discernment and discipline about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. There's a battle for your mind. There's a battle in your mind. And there's a battle to just simply mind. Battle just simply mind. If you're still with me, would you say amen? If I talk any faster, I'm going to sound like a chipmunk. I'm trying. There's a battle to mind. Look at verse 9 with me one more time. These things which you have both learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do, practice. If you underline and highlight in your Bible, learned, received, heard, and seen. He is describing there, the process of discipleship. Word monfano there, learn, is the same word we find in Matthew 28:18-20, make disciples. It's the word for Matthew, disciple. You find somebody to disciple you. You find somebody to emulate in this life. You find somebody who helps you keep your eye on King Jesus. He says here, follow me as I follow Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that you would be blameless and without harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You are called to be different. You're called to guard what comes in your mind. Amelia Clark, apparently, is a venerated actress to be such a young lady. She's performed in other things. I misheard last year. I was going through my own occasion of sickness. I misunderstood that she had cancer, and I thought, well, let me search her out. I'd heard the name, wasn't exactly familiar with her. She didn't. She had two brain aneurysms. She had two brain aneurysms while she was actually in one of the highest viewed, rated shows. I turned and said, okay, what is that? And she was one of the featured people in the HBO adaption of Martin's books, The Game of Thrones. I was stunned again because I couldn't imagine that she could keep up the schedule. I read two full-length articles where she had disclosed her medical condition, how she almost died, and how they basically kept it under wraps. And I thought, what a fighter. And I like inspirational stories. I just do. And so as I got into that, the show she's most known for, I thought, oh, you're kidding me. This is unbelievable. There was one article that just talked about this, the censors just basically gave up. There was so much nudity on the show. And they interviewed her and said, well, what do your parents think about it? And she said, well, they watched, and she called out the episode, which meant nothing to me. And the interviewer said, you're kidding me. She said, yeah, I don't know why I told them to watch that with me. We watched it, and it was again, full frontal perversion. And She said it was an awkward silence as they said, well, who wants a pizza? And I thought, well, that's our world, isn't it? Your little girl takes off her clothes and hundreds of millions of people watch it, and the best you can do is who wants a pizza? And I'm not angry with this young lady. She apparently is all that and a fighter. I just want somebody to tell her this is just a better way to live. There's a different way to live. You ain't got to do this. You've had two, not one, two brushes with death. You were in an ICU. Twice. I'm telling you, things can be different. Can't somebody get there and say, follow me as I follow King Jesus? Follow me as I follow King Jesus? That's why it's so important. Man, if you're not connected with some type of discipleship group, man, would you do that? You need somebody who's saying, I believe in you, come on. I believe in you, come on. We asked different ones of you. We knew would be here this morning. Will you do that? And I hope you graduates said, hey, these are people that I can look at as they follow Jesus. And they're going to help me down the road. One of the things I learned playing baseball, Pee Wee, Little League, 13-year-old Babe Ruth, was the importance of the baseman to the outfielders. Second base, your job not just to catch the ball, your job is to line up the outfielder with home plate. Make sure that their throw is true and their aim is straight. And I want to remind you, you need to be there for some people. You need to be a second baseman for them. You need to be able to point people to Jesus. If they keep following me, will they follow King Jesus? They follow me into a ditch. He says, what you've learned, seen, heard of me, do. By the way, he's talking about local church there. You look at it. There is no way, no way you can follow verse 9 if you're not around people, not around preaching. You're not involved with others. People aren't pouring their lives into you. And he says here, do. There's a battle to mind. There's a battle to practice discipleship. It's a battle to engage in active discipleship. God has blessed his church, I'm done, with the primary means of purifying our minds. Verse 17 of John 17. Sanctify them through thy word, thy truth. Your word is truth. Hey, preacher, I need to clean out the attic. Yeah, me too. I need to put a watch before my eyes. Yeah, me too. Best decision we ever made. We'll have one TV. It'll be in the family room. What one watches, we all watch. That's why I'm well-versed in cartoons. Every screen faces out. You're trying to hide your... Every phone is up for inspection. Every internet source is filtered. So you don't trust your kids? Psh, trust my kids. I don't trust me. We installed high-speed internet right after we came here. And we were having some trouble, some issues. I checked the logs. It was first 45 out of 50 sites visited were all pornographic or whereas kind of sites. I hadn't put a filter on. Never even crossed my mind to put a filter on in the building. Be honest with you. Once I put the filter on, stopped blocked all the other internet, improved quite a bit. People were cranky because they were coming to church and downloading whatever and they couldn't do it anymore. Say, did that upset you? They just being honest. Letting it download on their phone while they're here and it's free. Downloading, trying to hide it from everybody in their house. So you're harping on one thing. I'm harping on the obvious thing. All these positives. Godly books. Godly music. Stuff that's uplifting. Think on that. Don't think on this other. I acknowledge the battle. I remind you there's a battle in your mind. And it all works its way out in how you live. Follow me as I follow Christ. Find an example. Find your role model. Be involved in being a disciple. Find some people that help you be more of who you ought to be for King Jesus. There are no Lone Rangers that are successful in this fight. To experience the peace of God and to have the protection of the God of peace, we would filter our thought, what goes into our minds, and we would follow along with those who are following Jesus. The joy of follow through. Pray with me. Father, Lord, I love you. Lord, for 2 weeks I've wondered what to leave in, leave out. Whether some of this is appropriate for a mixed group. And Lord, I did the best I could. And Father, if I have been offensive, I have not meant to be. If I have been salacious, I have not meant to be. And God, I have not arrived. At 50, I think I fight just as hard as I did as a teenager, if not more. Because I have more resources, I have more opportunity, and I have certainly learned how to hide, Lord, how to excuse things.